Because you once had many like beautiful girls chasing band or anything like that as well.
No, we had none of that at all. A cup of cocoa and an early night.
Which is the best venue you've ever played at?
Best,
not so Wembley, not sure. Scoring a goal again.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, at Wembley at Live Aid, yeah. It was pretty impressive because we knew how important that was. And I just remember my experience of it was that it was over in a flash. Four tunes, gone like that.
You know the Live Aid thing? I remember it. I was flying back from Gran Canaria that night, my holiday, and we landed, and it was suddenly on telly, and it had happened. It happened really quick, didn't it?
Yeah,
the arrangement and everything.
Right. Yeah,
and how did they get everybody together? Because you're all over the place.
Well, I mean, it started with Band Aid.
Yes, it's Christmas, December before that.
So 6 months before, we're all congregating for what? We weren't really sure.
What, doing that single?
Some kind of charity record.
You didn't even know what that, no.
Well, we knew it was some kind of charity record,
right.
Which is now Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Did they know it's Christmas? You know?
Yeah.
So we all turned up. And I remember at Spando in particular, we thought, well, we'd spent the night out with Duran in Germany the night before, and we had stinking hangovers, all of us and Duran. And we both turned up in, like, you know, like the Pope Mobile or something, to outdo each other, you know, and other people sort of rocked up, you know, on public transport like Paul Weller or whatever,
yeah.
You know. There was a sense of, wow, this is weird, because you never...
Well, it's funny, isn't it, because you think, oh, well, they're all pop stars, so they all know each other, and, yeah. And everybody, oh, they all get on. It's like footballers, oh, you must know him because he played. Well,
yeah.
No, there's 92 league club, and so you don't, and suddenly you're all together in a room, really, aren't you?
In a room, and, you know. It was the first of its kind, though, because it really brought people together in many ways, you know. Musically, of course, made us all less suspicious. I do remember Geldof on the phone to saying about Boy George, who was in America. And he's saying, I don't effing care if he this, that, the other. I tell him to get his ass on Concorde and get over here. And that's exactly what he did, Boy George. He said, I'm in New York. I'm not going to go all the way over there. Just get over here. And so he did, you know, and his voice is on the track.
Well,
quite
that's it, yeah.
So
distinctive, isn't it?
Yeah,
his voice.
He could have missed
out
on that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because that would have made him a. That did make him even more iconic than what he was, didn't it?
And it, you know, even I remember watching Bono. To do his bit, and he got that line, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Which everybody tries to replicate on karaoke.
And can't. You know, and that kind of gave him a massive lift.
Mm.
And then, of course, he nailed it with Live Aid when he went into the audience, and secretly we were all going, you know, we all sort of, who does he think he is, but jealous to death, you know, that he was a.
Did you see Queen perform as well?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were the ones. I mean, we made a huge mistake, as did some other bands on there. We played our latest single that people hadn't heard yet, you know. We got it wrong in that respect. We did, and you did,
because it were for what it was.
But what
you know,
Queen
did,
they reminded people how great they are.
Yeah.
They were. You know,
they did, because I saw them the year after. I went to actually go and see him at Main Road, the Old Man City Ground, and he was unbelievable, Freddie Mercury, after that.
He's probably, I mean, can you name a better frontman ever that's ever been more than Freddie?
No, not at all.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, that experience, I mean, what was that, 80? Was
it 85?
85, all them times. But it's like there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that memory. And I'm just somebody watching it. You were, you're... Actually, there, fantastic.
I mean, I'm a fan of music still, and like I said, I never take things for granted. I feel myself very lucky to have played with Gazza, to have played with Bobby Moore, you know, and to have shared stages with all these fantastic.
Well, I remember when we played in that five-a-side, and I remember you saying, oh, it's fantastic to like beat five-a-side, because there were me, Paul Eaton, Ian Bryson played, and I'm going, whoa, hang on a minute, you don't realise, like, I've just passed the ball to Steve Norman, who's played it onto Paul Eaton, who's gone and scored. That'll do for me. I can retire now. Which I retired a long time ago. But if you know what I mean, for us, you see, you are the footballers to what we are. We look up like the pop stars. Wow, you're in a different thing. You're
it's,
up there
it's exactly
performing.
The same, like I say, you know, to be in a position to
to entertain.
Yeah.
It's the thing, isn't it, to go on that stage and entertain,
I'll
go on a field and entertain.
Still lucky, still doing it to this day, getting away with it. One day someone's going to put one of those sort of shepherd crooks and pull me off and say, look,
never. And obviously, I mean, you had the split up, didn't you?
Yeah.
You went your separate ways and the lads went on doing their acting, the craze and obviously East End and all like that.
Yeah.
You went and did a little bit of solo.
Oh, I was in Ibiza, so I got into the dance music scene. It's still a bit of
yeah, you went to live out there for a few years.
I lived out there for 12 years, right. Yeah, so I brought my kids out there, and you know, my ex-wife, their mother is Spanish, so I kind of immersed myself into the Spanish culture a little bit, you know, and still got
that's why you're so laid back,
yeah, and you know, I still like all that. I still like different types of music, you know, it's not just pop music that I like. And it interests me. It's my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's more than it's my passion. It's my life. Anything, you know. I guess we all pick up on different aspects of the music business, and I'm always keen to give advice, even though people don't necessarily want it.
Yeah.
And nothing gives me greater pleasure than having someone act on that advice, or I know in some way that I've helped with the advice I've given in whatever way.
And really, absolutely top person to do it, because you've been through it, started off, like I say, a working class background, come through, had all the breaks, worked really hard doing it, even changed instrument and done little bits of bobs to give people. On that, what do you think about all these reality stuff and inventing bands?
The difference now with, let's say, getting a band together is it used to come from the band. You know, you'd be at school or you'd be mates and you just you created your own gang, didn't you?
Yeah.
And now it's someone else that's kind of creating it. And they've got the infrastructure in place before they've even got the band.
Mm.
The band is the last thing that comes together. And I find that a little bit... I can't get my head around that at all. I'm not, you know, I know the sad thing is the byproduct of that is that fame becomes more important to these kids than being in a band or, you know, being able to play your instrument.
Yeah, having the passion to write, to write and play the music and have the feeling for it. It's just the celebrity, isn't it, now?
It's the celebrity thing.
Which lasts for like that now, really short.
And then they're dropped as well. Yeah. I think that's sad, you know. If you sign a band, a young kid, let's say, who's obviously not experienced enough to be able to take the knocks and the blows that suddenly being dropped like that is going to affect them psychologically.
Mm.
I think that's unfair, and I think that you know, there should be a responsibility on whoever signs them to look after them even when they're not flavour of the month anymore, just to let them down easier.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's the sad thing about it. And you think now what you lads produced and people are still listening to it, what they produce now will never be forgotten in a few years for me anyhow. Yeah. That's that. I tell that to my kids. They say, oh, shut up, you old man, you don't know what you're on about. Yeah. But there you go. And then you reformed. Reformed,
yeah,
fantastic.
Like 20 years before we were in the same room.
And whose idea was that then to do that?
It came from different sources, really. I mean, we all had a part, that's what I mean to say. I mean, it took the singer a lot longer before he accepted it. Gary and Martin both came to see me in Ibiza when I was living out there. And we sort of, Martin was out of the whole squabble, so there wasn't a problem with him. But by default, because his brother, you know, we did have a squabble with his brother.
Right.
Martin kind of, he obviously supported his brother. So we lost, me and him lost contact. And we were very close, Martin, we still are. So he came first to see me, Martin. I remember I hadn't seen him for a few years. And I met him at the airport in Ibiza, and I thought he still looked amazing. I went up to him and said, Mark, you still look like Elvis. Well, you know, what have you been up to? So where were we? You know, we carried on where we left off. We were stinking drunk that night. And our mutual friend that flew over with him said that Martin had fallen asleep at the airport, and there was, you know, with his mouth open. And there was like tourists and everyone taking pictures of him because he was on EastEnders at the time. Sorry, Mark, for that. But, and then Gary came out because he mentioned Gary, and he said, and I said, yeah, it'd be nice to see him. And he said, really? And because he thought we were such, you know, you kind of, in those situations, you almost think that people, you know, I thought Gary was like a three-headed monster or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'd made him to be this evil character.
Yeah.
And he's not, of course not. Everyone in squabbles like that, everyone believes their own truth. And the way I dealt with it, and I think the way you have to deal with it to move forward, is to think, right, no one's wrong in this, even though we were right. No, but no one's really wrong. There's a grey area, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it all in the grey area, put it in a box, and lock it and never go there. And just leave it, you know. And that's what we kind of did, really. And then little by little, everyone was convinced. It was artistic, it wasn't financially driven.
Right.
And then we went on a fantastic tour. It's a shame that we can't all agree all the time, because we're not going to be active this coming year, which is sad, because we've had two great years. We had a film out called Soul Boys of the Western World, which documents the story, a lot of what I've just said to you now, but, you know, from various sources. And it's great reminding people of where we came from where we came, what was happening at the time, the political landscape. Mm-hmm. Pop culture, the importance of the whole New Romantic movement, even though it is the name New Romantic, you know, when that was given to that movement that we were such a part of, we all wanted to run away from it, you know, thought New Romantic, that's awful, you know, I thought Blitz Kids was better than that, the cult with no name, that's where it should have been. And it's, you know, so we anyway, Span have had a lovely couple of years, but, you know, sadly, you know, we're going to have a little break.
You can have a little break.
Sadly. Not me. I'm still cracking on.
You're still cracking on doing stuff. I mean, you're up in Clitheroe this, 2016, aren't you, at the Summer Days Festival.
Leading
you're going
to
be doing that.
Days,
which will be fantastic,
You know, it's been brilliant. I've been popping up and down here. I love this part of the world. The guy who's key at driving this is my very dear friend, John Tyrrell. And we kind of met through music after the first reformation of Spandau, then back 2009. A lot of my friends that I stay very close with, we meet through music, even on stage sometimes. I might have known this person, like Mike Peters, classic. I've known him since, God
That's
knows.
The, from the alarm, from the alarm, alarm yeah. yeah.
And then through John, he said, come to this event in Clitheroe, golf event, and so did, and said, jump up on stage. So jumped up on stage, played just literally acoustic with Mike, and we looked at each other because we were suddenly meeting through the music, and it was a wonderful, beautiful moment. And since then, we've been like such close pals, done lots of things with Mike. I love him dearly. He's, you know, even though he's sometimes poorly, he, you know, he carries a sickness around with him, but... You just won't notice it. He's untiring, and he's always got energy. You know, he's this country's performer. As a performer, he's like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And I just wish that more people knew about that and what he does. His tireless work for charities and stuff. Even though, like, you know, he sometimes battles himself. He's a wonderful human being. And where were we?
You're coming up here at Summer Days Festival.
Exactly, the Summer Days Festival. So, you know, John and I have been working on various projects over the past few years since then. And he's brought me in really as a curator, a consultant and stuff. And also, you know, we're talking about various bands that would work together well.
Yeah.
What interests me, you know, he's at one end of the spectrum with bringing in Simply Red and Jules Holland and all those big names. Mm. Which is great. What I like and what I like to get stuck into is with the local bands and local artists. So that now I've got a little bit more time on my hands. I should be popping up and down, you know. Just checking out, you know, local artists and giving them a platform. Because I think it's very important that you strike a balance between the big draws, the big names. And
giving people opportunity like you, like you had all them years back.
You've got the nail on the head.
And just having that little bit of luck, somebody might see it and think, wow, that's a band for the future. Yeah.
And like I say, if I can be a part of that, you know, that's what makes me really proud. If I could almost not discover on my own, but just give someone a little bit of a leg up, a help up if I'm in a responsible position. What I have noticed coming up here is that everyone is right proud of this in the area. Mm. You know, no one at the moment has got a bad thing to say. It's exciting for the area.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I love Clitheroe. I love the Ribble Valley. Yeah. It's amazing. Is it the A59, that road? The
A59, yeah, lovely. Yeah,
isn't that amazing, that road?
Yeah.
It's
grand up north,
places.
You know. It's grand up north today.
It's grim today.
It's grim today. It's just summer today.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. 6th to 9th of July, we need the sun out, and then it'll be fantastic.
We guarantee that. So I'm very excited about that.
Ah, brilliant. Great stuff. Well, on that, thank you very much. You've been absolutely marvellous and a top man.
Mate.
Pleasure to play football for you.
You too.
And pleasure to chat to you as well.
Yeah,
great stuff. Thank you.